the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good to have you with us on a Misery Monday, coast to coast with Carver High. I'm Pharrell in New York. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Get the Sports Grid app on iOS or Play Store for Android. You're going to love it. It's got the TV side, the radio side. Follow your favorite hosts. Get all the scores, stories, highlights, videos, odds, you name it. The Sports Grid app. Go to sportsgrid.com/watch to see the many platforms that we're on. Don't forget, you got Sports Rage at 10 Eastern, 10 to 1 Eastern with Morenci, Cam Stewart, the whole cast of characters. Carver High and Lisi, I think 8 to 10. I mean, it's just crazy. Sports Grid Radio, you get it all. All right, we continue with our track around Pain Day results.
Yes, we do. And next we will go out to San Francisco, where the 49ers continue to look very dominant. 35 to 16. They beat the Cardinals. They did need that late touchdown, Scotty, for the cover, that Brock Purdy one. But Christian McCaffrey, he had not one, not two, not three, but four tutties. Let's hear all of them from Greg Pop on KNBR Niners Radio in San Francisco.
Great. Purdy got a handoff to McCaffrey, walks in the end zone. Touchdown, San Francisco! Red zone, McCaffrey goes in motion right. Backwards pass led by Juszczyk, a block there. Hurdles a man, 10-5, touchdown! CMC! Motion right, play action by Purdy, looks bunt side, comes back left, throws. McCaffrey will roll it right down to the goal line. Touchdown! CMC, the hat trick. Three are left. They give it to McCaffrey off the left side. One, two, three, four. Touchdown! CMC.
That's my dude right there. I used to love him when I worked in San Francisco at KNBR. Love me some Greg Papa. He's a badass, my man.
We do welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Monday. Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Byline. Great to have everybody with us here today. So the Niners go to 4-0. They will play the Cowboys on Sunday night, Scotty. Now that is a big-time Sunday night football game. We will talk about the Cowboys in a moment, and then maybe we'll start to get into that a little bit. But I want to go first to Baker. The Bucs beat the Saints 26-9. Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks, Scotty, 3-1 and atop the NFC South. What a great shirt from Baker. Says everyone's doing their job.
He looks like
a great team.
Dealer.
Everybody's on the same page, and just everybody's doing their
it's
job.
White
it
boy
comes
Rick.
Down to little details when you're playing against a good team like that. And so, obviously, would like to have that one throwback today. But it's just that's a physical error. That wasn't anything mental. It was just a bad throw. So, we can correct those.
I got to tell you, there's something about that team. I mean, they show up, right? Like, I know the Eagles beat them easily on the Monday Nighter, but every other game they've been pretty good.
They have been 3-1 as they head into their bye now. So they get a week off at 3-1. We will see them in a couple of weeks. We mentioned that the Niners are playing the Cowboys on Sunday night in San Francisco. The Cowboys coming off a big win themselves, 38-3 They beat the Patriots, and this one was over, Scotty, relatively quickly because Mac Jones kept giving the football to the other team on Fox.
They're looking to put a lot better product on the field here today at home.
Jones, pressure coming. He's in trouble. Fowler coming. Ball is loose. Vanderesh picks it up. Touchdown, Dallas. Second down. A lot of time. Jones just can't find it. Comes back across the field. This time he pays the price. Deron Bland, pick six.
I mean, it was just easy pickings for the Cowboys all day long at Jerry's World. Big fat W for them, and they needed that after that miserable performance against Arizona in the desert.
Miserable performance indeed. The Patriots, meanwhile, of course, Mac Jones would get pulled in this game. Bailey Zappe came in, although Bill says that Mac Jones is still the quarterback. Good luck there. And their best player on defense, Matthew Judon, is going to miss a significant amount of time with a biceps injury. Things are, I mean, this is going downhill real fast right for Bill and the Patriots this year, Scotty.
I mean, let's see how this goes. But, when I hear bicep tendon tear, I hear surgery season over. Okay, so I want to see. I think they're just covering that up. If he tore his bicep, he's done.
Yeah, that would be the thing. I was looking now to see if they had any updates for it yet. Still nothing out of New England with Judon, so we'll see. Probably tomorrow morning when Bill meets the media for the first time is when you will get that. We had our first London game yesterday, the Jaguars and the Falcons over at Wembley. Of course, it's like a second home to Jacksonville, and they took care of business. 23-7. Not this week. They're not taking care of business. Calvin Ridley saying hi to his old team on ESPN.
Both Luke Farrell and Brenton Strange on the field more.
Farrell did have one catch short game earlier. Lawrence sidesteps the pressure there. That was Richie Grant whiffing and throws to Kenzo. Touchdown. Calvin Ridley is involved against his former team. A 30-yard strike on his first touch today. Wow.
So I hit the bat. Jags -3. So you say that's their second home, and then this week they're going to get sent home by the Bills. Okay, back to reality. They're going to get sent back to Duval County. But there's no way, in my view, honestly, that they can stop that freight train. Because you know what? They're just not that good. Like, again, messing around with a big lead and all this other stuff. The Bills are going to go into London and smack that ass. That's what they're going to do. No one can stop that freight train. That's a freight train.
They, of course, played that game at Wembley yesterday. Sunday's game with the Bills will be at Tottenham Stadium, Scotty. Yeah, they're going to play at Tottenham for that one. I'm with you. I think the Bills, I don't care that they're staying the whole week out there. I mean, maybe small advantage that they get to spend 2 weeks there, but the Bills will leave Friday, just treat it like a West Coast trip, and show up in London and just play the game on Sunday morning.
That's exactly what it is, Mike. It's a five-hour flight. Go over there, beat their ass, and go home.
And one thing from the Falcons, who are now 2-2, 2-0 start. They've lost the last two. I saw Arthur Smith about an hour ago say that he is going to stick with Desmond Ridder as his quarterback. There were some calls to maybe make that change, as they have not really done much offensively the last 2 weeks. Of course, they have ice cold Heinicke Light sitting on the bench, Scotty, if he was looking for a spark.
Yeah, well, I'll say this much. I think Heinicke is a better quarterback in terms of the NFL. Like, he's game ready, like Trubisky. He's had a lot of great moments in Washington, right? And then this kid Ridder looks lost. He really does. Like, he's been exposed.
I think eventually he's going to do it. He might say he's not doing it this week, but I think Heinicke can win some games for them with that offense that they have with London and with Pitts and Robinson. Like, they just need somebody to give them the ball.
Patterson
Ridder ain't doing that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver High and I are sitting here talking about Marley's. Those are bad beats where I come from. Mafia considers Marley's something else entirely. Then again, so do I. We won't get into that. All right. Where are we at here? The Broncos come back. That game was fixed, too. How about this guy, Dental Floss? I mean, he's the worst coach in the NFL. I've never seen anyone in my life at the 20-yard line, fourth and two, at the end of the game, just kick the field goal. You haven't won a game. You never win. You're horrible. Kick the field
never
goal.
Win. I still have no idea what he was doing. And I'm watching it like you were with Gabe. I'm watching the game at home, and I'm going, all right, well, now they're calling timeout. He was trying to draw him off. He'll kick the field goal here, and he'll place, you know, hopefully his D could get to finish the game for him. And then he sent them back out and went, what is this guy doing? And sure enough, they couldn't get it done. Now, you thought Fields was going to have really the best game of his career. I mean, he threw for 320, 35, four touchdowns. Too bad there was a quarter and a half left, and they couldn't get anything done. Denver comes storming back with 17 points in the fourth quarter. They win it 31-28. Fields did get the ball, Scotty, one more time after the awful fourth down call by Eberflus, but unfortunately just couldn't get it done on CBS.
Third down and 13. Santos' career long is 55 yards. Pressure coming. Fields over the middle. Intercepted! Picked off by Jackson, and he goes to the ground! And the Broncos will escape with their first win of the year!
Honestly, like, you can't even explain this to me, how they blew this game. And it's one game after the next every week. The Rams game, the Bears game. Don't get me started on Central Florida yet. I got to hold off on that so I don't have a conniption. But I have never in my life seen teams up 25, up 21. And do you remember the Denver game with Washington? They were up 21, and they lost. I have never seen. How is it that teams are up that big, and then they've done everything? The guy's having the game of his life. Everything's going right. Everything, and then suddenly, like, they shut off the water for the winner out in the yard, and nothing works. They can't get a first down. They can't complete a pass. They can't gain a yard. They can't run. They can't pass. They can't do anything. And then the other team just keeps scoring. None of it makes sense to me. I'm watching that game yesterday. I'm like, this game's fixed. What is happening here? I'm like, what was it, 28-7? I'm like, watching the game, I'm going, what is happening here? And you knew when that stupid moron coach at Ayers went for it on fourth down, you knew they were going to lose. I mean, you knew it. Not only did they go down and kick the winner, I knew they weren't going to get a field goal, let alone try one. Because you knew after Eberflus did that they were going to bend over KY Jelly night. I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm sitting here watching. I was counting multiple games fixed. I've never. How do you explain that to me? Someone try to explain to me how these games go from you're up 30 and then you lose. How is that possible?
Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all. That's for sure. So the Bears now 0-4. The Bears would actually, Scotty, have the first two picks in the draft right now. They have Carolina's pick. Those are the two 0-4 teams. They had the first pick last year. They traded it to Carolina. So they might get Caleb Williams.
I heard that today. Tank for Caleb and then trade Fields to the Falcons. That's what I was hearing today. That's all going to work out.
We have a home for him. Okay.
Yeah. And I like spaghetti.
They got it all figured out.
I mean, honestly.
They got it all figured out. Ravens beat the Browns 28-3. The Browns, unfortunately, they just couldn't get anything going all day. Lamar was pretty good. I saw today, Scotty, that Stefanski said Watson was cleared to play by their staff. And Watson said he didn't feel healthy enough to play. So Stefanski just went and, like, put it all on Watson's plate today with him not playing in the game. So that's something to keep an eye on in Cleveland as well today.
And by the way, DTR, he was another one. Like, I thought the kid for the Raiders, O'Connell, played well, but I didn't think DTR played well.
No, he did not. We mentioned earlier that the Vikings... Yeah, we mentioned earlier that the Vikings beat the Panthers 21-13. They get their first win of the year. Justin Jefferson was held without a touchdown the first three games, Scotty. He had not one but two against Carolina. Why don't we hear from our buddy PA on the mic, Paul Allen, Vikings Radio, here on Coast to Coast.
Second and one from the Carolina 30. Two receivers right, JJ to the left.
Got a 3-1.
Takes the snap, fires to the end zone to Jefferson. Touchdown! They singled JJ and they paid. It is 20-13, Minnesota.
And that's that. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, everyone's ruminations about Kirk Cousins coming to the Jets. That's not happening. And Zach Wilson is the Jets quarterback, and he proved it last night. So you can have him in Minnesota. I still don't think they matter. But we were on that late at 4.5. There's no way he can stop Jefferson with that crappy team. I don't care what anybody says. Carolina's crappy. I know last year they looked good for Wilkes. They don't look good for this guy. What, Frank Reich? Isn't he the coach now? Has anyone caught on to the fact yet that Frank Reich sucks as a coach? Has anyone, like as I have, I've caught on. I'm catching on that, like, his fame for the big comeback in Buffalo, like, that's why he's a coach, because he was famous. But you know what? He was a career lifelong backup hack, and now he's a hack coach. I don't care what anybody says, he's a hack.
Yeah, I know he got a lot of the juice for Wentz and Foles that year. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. He was the quarterback coach,
whatever,
the offensive coordinator on the Eagles that year. Peterson was the offense yeah, on the Eagles that year. So it's been a good job that Reich did. Chargers beat the Raiders 24-17. There was a lot of weird stuff that happened in this game as well, including Scotty. Now, Herbert, he had that hit from Jerry Tillery. That Tillery got thrown out of the game for the late hit. Herbert also suffered a fractured finger on his left non-throwing hand, it came out today. A gruesome nail injury. He finished the game. They're on a bye this week, Scotty, so they think that he'll be fine in terms of not missing time. It's not on his throwing hand anyway, so you figure he'd probably be okay in the meantime. On the defensive side, how about giving up a guy six sacks? How about letting a guy get six sacks in a game? How embarrassing is that for your offensive line? Khalil Mack did that to his old team. Here's the sixth on CBS.
In the backfield of second and 25. O'Connell, here comes Mack. Number six. Khalil Mack. Mack today.
Watch, he avoids Johnson, and then he gives a little dip to Illuminor, and O'Connell not able to step up in the pocket. Very aware.
I've never seen anything like the end of that game when that guy picked off that pass at the goal line for the Chargers and he didn't run it down for a touchdown. There was no one within 30 yards of him. He literally could have walked 90 yards and no one would have touched him. He could have walked. And he ran out of bounds with the ball with 3 minutes left. And they were at 3rd and 11. And then this guy throws a 60-yard rope to Palmer. I mean, where is the fairy book ending? Honestly, you can't even, again, explain to me how that's possible. So this guy catches a ball at the goal line. No one's even near him. The game's a 7-point game. And all he has to do is go house, game over. And instead he runs out of bounds. And they had to get a first down. It was 3rd and 11. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was watching. Another guy I think is a terrible coach is this guy Staley. Put him in the Eberflus, him, it goes on and on.
Two weeks in a row.
Put them all in a bag.
2 weeks in a row he did that, going for fourth down in his own territory, and he didn't get burned for it. He's eventually going to get burned for it if he keeps making those calls.
It'll happen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
How about the BetMGM 1500 first bet offer? It's huge. Use the bonus code SG1500. How do you get it? Well, download the BetMGM app on iOS or Android in the Play Store, or go to BetMGM.com. Sign up, put at least $10 into your account, place your first wager. Let's say you were to bet $500. If you lose the bet, you'll get $500 in bonus bets back immediately once the wager's settled. If you bet $1,000, you lose, you get $1,000 back. You bet $1,500, the max, you lose, you'll get $1,500 in bonus bets back once the wager is settled. Check for terms and conditions at BetMGM.com. Davis Lee, Rob Maddock, always on the lion's share with us every day. And Davis, I want to start with this. I want to get into the wild cards, but so I think the Giants brass figured out, you know, you're 12 games over 500, like, you know, with 3 weeks, 4 weeks to go, and you collapse and literally almost lose every game you play. They fired Gabe Kapler. The Mets spent, you know, $400 million and they stunk. They fired Buck Showalter. The Yankees need to fire Aaron Boone. And I don't believe for 1 minute that this guy, Hal Steinbrenner, has the onions to do it. They should have already done it today, tomorrow. Like, they've already said they don't know if he's returning. So just get it over with and fire him. He's been terrible. And if they keep this up, it's going to be the same thing all over again. It's like a bad movie.
I guess the thing that I don't understand is, what has Boone done to engender this sort of love from the Yankees front office? It's not as if this guy is going down in the annals of New York Yankees history as one of the greatest managers. It's not as if the fans love him. I mean, as far as I can tell, it's not that, you know, Aaron Judge and Mike Boone are like best friends and they hang out on the weekend, and Judge will be real bummed out if Boone is not around managing the team. So in a business that is as cutthroat as this, with as poor of the results as the Yankees have been getting, with how much of a mess the Yankees are relative to the other, you know, really good teams, really teams with, you know, inexhaustible amounts of financial resources, why is he the manager? I find it more confusing that he is the manager than that he hasn't been fired. Like, I really don't get it.
Do you think that they would be able to pull it off where they fire him, and then I think a lot of fans in New York would want Mattingly to be the Yankee manager?
I think Mattingly would do fine there. I mean, I don't really see any reason. I guess that maybe my guess would actually be, I think the Yankees are going to go the other way, assuming that Boone does at some point this offseason get axed. My bet is they kind of go with a nerd, you know, they'll do the analytics move, you know, they'll try and kind of model themselves after the Rays or something like that. That would sort of be my guess. I'm not sure about that though.
I mean, fair enough, but let's just for 1 second here. Their analytics department needs to be set on fire.
For sure.
Okay.
Yes.
They have ruined the New York Yankees. If you want to know why Boone is so bad, it's because they run the franchise analytically. That's how they run it. Everything's based on analytics, not on baseball, not on get runner on first, move him to second, get a hit, and score a run. They don't do that anymore. Everything's based on math and MIT. And I think all of those dorks in that analytics office should all be set on fire. Like, set on fire. Dumpster fire the entire goddamn office. Every one of them. And then put a baseball guy in that manages. Honestly, play baseball. Stop playing math and algebra in the Bronx. Honest to Christ. I'm getting mad right now thinking about
but
it.
But if their analytics department is telling them to sign Billy McKinney and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, they can't be a very good analytics department, right? Like, whatever the Yankees analytics department has going on, they are getting laps run around them by the Rays analytics guys, by the Dodgers analytics guys. I mean, which I guess like happens, right? Like, I think there's sort of this idea that analytics is like a catch-all term, but I would imagine most of these front offices approach that in a different way. And like, whatever The Reds are an example, I think, probably of a team that has something going on that other teams have not caught on because they got such good performances out of guys who have been such journeymen. The Mariners are pretty good analytically based front office, and whatever the Yankees are doing, Scotty, it's not working.
How'd that work out?
Well, it almost worked out, right?
Almost,
it was close.
Almost does not count in pro sports. Okay, so let me ask you this. Real quick before we do the wild cards. Schultz going to get Melvin's job is what I'm hearing.
I have no issue with that. I mean, that seems fine. It's hard for me to have like a real strong opinion about that situation.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, they're going to fire him any minute, and then Schultz getting his job in San Diego, because what they were this year was an abortion.
A joke, that's what they, sure.
You want to know where you can get an abortion? San Diego. That's where you go now. If you can't get them in your state, fly to San Diego, and they're giving them out right at Petco Park. You can get it done in 15 minutes. Let's talk about, and I'm just kidding. Honestly, that's not possible to do that in Southern California legally. I'm just saying, I thought it was a really good idea at the time when I brought it up. Texas, Tampa at 3:08 tomorrow, then Toronto, Minnesota. I have one question for you. Are you oniony enough? Do you have the stones to take Gausman in Target Field to beat the Twins on the road?
Oh, yeah. The Twins are losing this game, buddy. The Twins are not winning this game. The Twins are destined to be full of playoff failure. Look, it doesn't make me happy. I mean, I don't want our friends from Minnesota to be sad. But Gausman, I mean, they're winning that game. They win that game 6-2, Toronto and Minnesota, I think.
How about Glasnow will win, Burns will win, and the Phillies will beat the Marlins at Citizens tomorrow. How's that sound?
No, I'm calling a Marlins win. I just, you know, they got some fairy dust, man. There's something going on with this Marlins team, and the Phillies kind of strike me as one of those teams that sort of the opposite of their World Series run, where they're going to be a really good regular season team, unquestioned, and then they meet a little bit of adversity in the playoffs, and I think they might melt a little bit. That's my hot take.
Mavia, check to see if Scoop Mesh paid him to pick the Marlins in game one on the show today. All right, Davis Lee Roth Maddox, you can catch him with Scoop Mesh on Saturdays on Fantasy Sports Today at 7 to 9 a.m., breakfast at Tiffany's. Let's talk about your gambling problem, because it supersedes everything and goes right into football. Tonight you have massive action going at Snoopy with the Seahawks and Giants. Where do we begin?
Yeah, I actually I don't lay a ton of money on these spreads in the primetime games, but this one I told Tiano earlier, I was like, I might bet an alt line here. I think the Seahawks are in a sweetheart spot. Neutral field, I think they're way better in New York. I don't really care. Andrew Thomas, a left tackle, out for the Giants. Saquon out for the Giants. It's like a huge problem. Andrew Thomas might be one of the best. I mean, he might be the best left tackle in football. Not having him is like a huge miss. The Giants have looked awful in every game. I mean, even the game they won against Arizona, they looked awful for a huge chunk of that. I just think the Seahawks are the better team. So starting here by taking them -2.5, but I think you could go on the other side of that. You could buy up to -3.5, get a little bit of extra there. I just think the Seahawks are a better team.
And then you're going with Robinson for the first touchdown of the game at big odds.
Yep, this is my – I love to bet these first touchdowns for these primetime games. BetMGM giving us a pretty fair number here at +3,500. Also think you can sprinkle him anytime touchdown at 7-1 as well. I expect him to be the starting slot wide receiver for the Giants. I think he'll play ahead of our guy Paris Campbell tonight. He only played 11 snaps in his debut, but he got 10 days off of rest here. I think he's the best wide receiver on the Giants, and I think this is a pretty good wager.
So what about Njigba? You've got action on him as well.
Yep, I've got him over 28.5 receiving yards here in this spot. Noah Fant did not practice on Saturday. We'll see if he ends up playing or not. And Smith Njigba has been playing a decent amount of snaps, about 60% of the offensive snaps for Seattle. He was their first round pick. As really, honestly, Scotty, he's been brutal. He has not been good the first three games of his NFL career, but he was awesome at Ohio State. And I mean, he's out there on the field quite a bit, but he's got the lowest average depth of target in the NFL. I think that switches tonight. You know, Seahawks score 30 points or so on the road here against Big Blue and JSN. I'm also calling he scores his first NFL touchdown tonight as well.
Yeah, I like that. You know, they got all kinds of weapons. Lockett, Metcalf, this guy in Jigba, and Geno coming back to New York. I mean, it just smells like trouble for the G-Men. We'll see. Just when you think everything's lined up, they'll lose. What about Matt Breida?
Yep. To continue the trend here, I'm going under 44.5 rushing yards. He got four rushing attempts in a game against the 49ers. Now, obviously, the Seahawks are not as good as the 49ers, but I think it shows the Giants' game plan. A lot of quick throws, not a ton of running on first down. I think they're going to try and get the ball out of Daniel Jones' hands as quick as possible. So under 44.5 rushing yards for Matt Breida.
How about this guy, Daniel Jones, 1-11 in primetime games? That's crazy.
It is crazy. And I kind of like Daniel Jones. I feel kind of bad for him, but, you know, not bad enough to not bet against him here.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for anyone. All right, I'll see you tomorrow, bro.
Later, bud.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, honestly, is there anything better than, like, you know, Sunday night football, Monday night football, Thursday night football? I mean, they should have it every night. Honestly, not that high school league on Tuesdays and Wednesdays they start cranking out when it snows. That Maction. Thanks a lot. You can have that. Have a sandwich. I like Pain Day NFL, like primetime game, like strap in 8:15, 8:20, get the popcorn going, the beer, the booze, the spleef. It's all happening in primetime, like tonight.
Well, it's funny you said that because tomorrow, Scotty's actually like the last day or the last night without football, either NFL or college, for like 47 days or something like that. Like, you go on a string because this week you've got Wednesday night college football games. I think I saw App State or, I'm sorry, Jacksonville State, Middle Tennessee playing on Wednesday night. And next week there's college football Tuesday and Wednesday night next week going forward. So these other leagues kind of saw everybody got in on the Mac in November. You know how Mac used to do the Maction Tuesdays?
Yeah.
Now the Sun Belt and Conference USA, like, they saw what they were doing. They're like, well, why don't we do the same thing so people are watching our games? So now we got Tuesday and Wednesday college football games for the next few weeks, which is going to be a lot of fun.
We
do have Monday night football across the river at MetLife at Snoopy, where the Giants will host the Seattle Seahawks. Giants are going to be missing some guys, Scotty. Left tackle Andrew Thomas out. Saquon Barkley's listed as doubtful, but he will not be suiting up for the Giants either tonight. We will start with Daniel Jones. He feels Giants still improving as they are at 1-2.
I think we're still improving. I mean, we're still working to grow and like I said, I think there's a lot of things we need to sharpen up and clean up as an offense, as a unit, and we're working to do that. But
yeah, like everything.
We're still confident and excited for what we can be.
It is amazing to me that he's 1-11 in primetime games. And it also kind of stuns me that every time I see him do an interview, he looks like a deer in the headlights. I mean, he is like nerding out like beyond Eli, like 5-6 floors above him. He's like on a different level. He's like in the Intercontinental, Carver High, up on the 70th floor at the check-in counter. He's so high up there over Eli when it comes to Nerdville. Like, I'm watching this guy do interviews. It's like he's like, you know, scared. I don't even know what's happening there. He doesn't win big games in primetime. I know that.
You shorted him a loss, Scotty. I've got him here on this graphic as 1-12. 1-12 in primetime, straight up, including 0-5 at home in prime time, straight up. And those against the spread in that 0-5, only one of those five games has he covered. So that is what he will try to do tonight. This has now gone to Seattle minus 2.5. 46.5 is the total.
Yeah, watch tonight. He covers by a hook, and I laid 1.5. Like, you know, I've seen everything else crazy this weekend. Why not tonight? I lose by the hook, and the guy, they lose by one and cover.
You know, I'm taking the Giants tonight, Scotty. I think the Giants are going to win. I think the Giants are going to win tonight. It's like a last stand. Like, I think their season's, like, going to be over if they lose tonight. Like, I think if they're 1-3, they're at home. They've had all this extra rest. They played the Thursday night game the week before. Seattle's coming across. They're looking ahead to their bye this week. I just think a lot of stuff sets up nicely for the Giants at home. And if they could just find a little bit of offense, I think that Gabe said it to you earlier. I think he's right that it's going to be like a 20-16 maybe type of game. I think it could fall into that region, but I think the Giants are going to win tonight.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 20-16 for how many points the Seahawks score, like 36. Yeah, so I think they can't stop those receivers and Geno and Kenneth Walker. That's it. Like, I've seen no signs of life. I've seen no defense. I agree with Gabe. I've seen no Thibodeau. They have no running game. They really don't have a passing game either. He has done nothing this year throwing the rock. He hasn't even started running the ball like he normally does. They're not doing anything right. And I'm sure I won't be right, but I actually, because I'm sure I'll get burned every time I get near a game like this. But I'm telling you, Seattle's playing way better than them, and they are way better than them, and they are more loaded than them. And I mean, receivers and running back, they got it all. And I don't know about defensively, they give up 25 points. So yeah. I say over. I think the Giants have to score points tonight. They have to show something, because in every game so far, they've shown nothing. They've been inept. They've been anemic. They need to start putting the ball in the end zone. When they get in the red zone, they got to get points, field goals, touchdowns. I think the game's crazy. I think it's a lot like Seattle's game last week with Carolina, where it was like 37-27. Okay. I think it's going to be crazy.
Like, the Giants have only played one good half, right? Just that second half in Arizona. I mean, that's it. They yeah. really have done nothing else besides that. All right, I always give you the most bet props. Kenneth Walker to score the first touchdown at 6-1. Kenneth Walker anytime minus 110. DK over 63.5. DK over 4.5 grabs. Breida under 47.5 yards rushing, which I believe Davis had for you as well, right? Breida going under.
Well, look, the one I just keep zeroing in on, and I'm going to bet it, is Walker anytime. You're saying it's even money?
Yeah, minus 110, yeah. Minus 110 right now.
All right. Well, I think he's going in. I don't think they can stop him inside the 5. I don't even think they can stop him inside the 20. This guy is a monster, and he is turning into a – you know what he's turning into? It's basically Marshawn Lynch. He's a badass. This guy is a problem.
I'm with you as well with Walker. No matter what I think of who's going to win the game, here's the tutties for you. And I usually don't give you minus money ones, but I think Walker's scoring tonight. Like, I just really do. I think Tyler Lockett is going to score as well at plus 145. And I got to give you some Giants. Waller hasn't gotten in the end zone yet this year. Plus 225 for him. And I think for the Giants to win this game, this goes with my pick, I guess, a little bit. I think they need a touchdown on either defense or special teams. I think they need to find a touchdown from somewhere else besides their offense. 4-1, plus 400 for the Giants defense special teams tonight, Scotty.
I hope you're right. That would be a great 4-1 payout. I love that type of bet, but I'm on Walker. That's it.
Walker, baby. How about Walker for 2? I was looking at that this morning as well. Walker to score twice. Once isn't good enough for me, Scotty. Twice.
I like Davis on Njigba. And I also think that Metcalf or Lockett, one of the two scoring. I think, you know, this guy, Geno, throws touchdowns, and that's who catches them. I'm going to go Metcalf and Jigba, Walker, all score.
There you go. Seahawks and the Giants tonight at MetLife. You'll talk to it. Talk with Adam Kaplan more about the game later on in the final hour of Coast to Coast. All right, let's start the college football. Big weekend. We'll finish it at the top of the hour. Some good games, that's for sure, Scotty, on Saturday. We'll start with number one, Georgia, who's still really, I mean, haven't looked great at all this year. They got down early, 10-0 at Auburn. Had to scratch and claw their way back. They got a touchdown from Bowers late, 27-20. They get it done there. Kirby Smart says, coming from behind on the road, you know, that ain't easy. That's a big deal.
They all matter. Like, they all feel good. I mean, we put so much into this. I mean, 16, 18-hour days for 5, 6, 7 days. These kids work really hard. There's a lot of buildup. And then when you
– no one goes to class.
Kids work hard. Situation where you were behind.
No one goes to class.
I don't know how many times. I feel like we're behind the whole game. And you come back and win on the road, says something about your team and your character. Nobody panicked. Nobody panicked. You know, and you know, I don't know how good a team we got. I really don't. I don't sit here and proclaim that we've got some unbelievable team. But I do think our team – believes in each other. We connect. We step up when we need to step up.
It's so special.
But we can't keep turning the ball over.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
they
sure.
love one another so much.
Look, they're gonna lose a game at some point.
I can't wait.
It's coming.
Honestly, I'm gonna have
it's
a kegger.
Coming.
I'm having a keg party when they lose.
It's coming. They're 0-5 against the spread. They haven't covered one game so far this year, and I get it. They don't care about that stuff. We see what's going on. You know,
we do.
You would have think they would have, they would have pounded somebody at this point. They haven't. And the two SEC games that they've had, they were losing in both of them, South Carolina and now Auburn, which aren't great teams, either of them. And they had to fight in the second half to win both of those games. Now, the good thing they have going for them is they're not playing Alabama this year. They're not playing LSU. You know, they play Ole Miss later in the year. Like, they're playing Kentucky this week. I was impressed with Kentucky, Scotty. Beating Florida on Saturday. But every year, this like happened the last 2 years also. Kentucky went into the game with Georgia. Everybody thought Kentucky was going to give them a game, and Georgia stuffed it down their throat. So I'm not to know what to believe this week when they play.
Well, the problem is, if the game were in Lexington, I'd be all over that 16 or whatever it is. But at Stanford Stadium in between the hedges in Athens, you know, then again, you just told me they haven't covered once. Kentucky's tough. I would love to see him cover that number. I really would. My number one play Saturday was Kentucky against Florida, and they had lost, I think, 16 of 17 games in Lexington to Florida going into the game. It didn't matter. Yep. Stoops has a team this year. They're good. And I told you last week, Florida is overrated. They are not that good, and I've always told you I don't like Mertz.
The Irish, as I told you on Friday, knew Notre Dame was going to mess around on Saturday night. Duke's a good team, but I just knew they were going to be losing by three or something in the fourth quarter and have to pull it out. But
right.
Sam Hartman did do that, Scotty. Hartman and the Irish do get it done 21-14 on the road at Durham. They were down late. Here is Hartman, Scotty, getting the big fourth down and then the estimate touchdown on Irish radio.
With one of the routes. He's on the left hash on the 47. He has three pass catchers to his right. Three-man rush. Sam stands in. Runs out to his right on the 50. Steps up. He could run. Runs across the 40. 35. 30. And he got it.
Yes!
He got there.
Yes!
He got to the 29. 41 seconds left. Hands off to Estime. Up the middle. Keeps his
feet.
Come on! Running. He'll do it. He'll score. Five. Touchdown, Irish. Estime puts Notre Dame back on top.
Mafia. Nothing like an impartial broadcast team. These two guys are having sex with one another in the booth. You know, they weren't doing that last week against Ohio State, Ulis.
No, they weren't. And they did get the cover, 5.5, with that late touchdown.
That's a bad beat for everybody that had Duke, I got to tell you.
It was a bad beat for everybody that had Duke. Riley Leonard got hurt in that game as well. For Duke, high ankle sprain. He's not season ending, so it looks like Duke might get Riley Leonard back at some point, but he went down late.
Now they're ripe for the picking without their quarterback. They're ripe for the picking.
That is correct. That is correct. And they play NC State in a couple weeks and then Florida State. Probably won't have him for those games now, which is...
Oh, they're going to lose to Florida State without him.
Yes, they are. At the top of the hour, I'll give you some more, including Caleb Williams, 6 touchdowns. But USC lets Colorado walk all over him in the second half and cover that fat number. Oh.
Unbelievable.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another exciting edition of Today in Carver High History.
It certainly is. 1963, Sandy Koufax sets a then World Series record with 15 strikeouts against the Yankees. And then in 1966, Koufax wins his 27th game of the season.
Come on.
68, Cardinals pitcher Bob Gibson sets a new World Series mark by striking out 17 Tigers in game one. 69, Seattle Pilots play their last game in Seattle before moving to Milwaukee. They became the Brewers the following season. 72, Expos pitcher Bill Stoneman throws a no-hitter against the Mets in the first ever no-hitter pitched in Canada. 80, Muhammad Ali comes out of retirement to challenge Larry Holmes for the heavyweight championship of the world and gets pounded unmercifully for 10 rounds before his corner throws in the towel. Brutal. 84, due to a strike by the umpires, game one and the next three games of the NLCS are played with replacement umps. Can you imagine if that happened today? 86, Dwight Gooden becomes the first pitcher in MLB history to collect 200 Ks in his first three seasons. 88, South Korean boxer Park Si-hun is controversially awarded the Olympic gold medal in the light middleweight boxing over Roy Jones Jr. Lennox Lewis wins the super heavyweight gold over Riddick Bowe. 91, number one pick Eric Lindros rejects the Quebec Nordiques 10-year, $50 million contract. They hate him in Quebec. 94, Don Shula beats his son David. He was the coach of the Bengals in the first ever NFL meeting between father and son. David, not as good as Don as a head coach. 99, number 21, Alabama beat Florida 40-39 in overtime. It snapped the Gators' 30-game home winning streak. 99, the Atlanta Thrashers play the first regular season game in franchise history. They lost 4-1 to the Devils. Farrell was on the call, the first regular season Thrasher game. 99, Ray Bourque, highest scoring defenseman in NHL history. 2004, Jeff Kent, all-time home run leader for second baseman. Montreal's last win in franchise history before they moved to Washington in 2004. 2016, US beat Europe to win the Ryder Cup. Vince Scully's final game in 2016. There
he did it. He got it all in. Nice.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.